Welcome to the To Be Loved podcast. This is episode 13, and today our guest is Jill Horner. Hey, Jill.
Hey, Catherine.
I affectionately started calling you Jilly.
That's no problem.
And then you told me the other day, you're like, I've been called worse. It's okay. But you're just so, and we have to say too that you are the aunt of Jennifer Thompson, who was previously a guest on the podcast.
That's correct.
And what does she call you?
Sunshine.
Sunshine, yes.
Sunshine. Yes, I had to think about that one.
You're probably like, well, what? Let me make sure it's okay.
Yeah, there you go.
But you are, that is exactly what you are. You are sunshine, and you just light up a room, and I'm so excited for you to be here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And you and I go way back, like to when I was a baby, or even before that.
Yes, I remember that very well. I was an Easter Bunny, I think, way back.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, how old are you, Jill?
I quit counting those days.
Sorry.
59.
Yes. And so you are from Sampson County, and you are my family, the Strickland family, and your family go back, and you used to help farm with my family when you were a little girl, right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We had a lot of fun times back then too.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you did? Y'all, tobacco, what did you do in the tobacco fields?
It didn't matter. I did whatever they told me to do. And there was one of your cousins, she might not like this to tell this. We fuss and fight a lot. That was Beth Fan.
Yes, and she is a listener of the podcast, so shout out to Beth.
I just had to say that, Beth. Nothing personal, okay?
That'll make her smile. Well, yeah, so you, our families, you and my dad, like, we just have lots of intertwined. We're very intertwined. And then I ended up going to a Bible study at Jennifer's, and I walked in, and I remember you saying, are you Clay Strickland's daughter?
Yes.
I was like, yes, ma'am, I am. The Strickland genes are pretty strong.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Go way, way, way back. And speaking of how we grew up, I can remember Bobby Strickland.
Yes.
I can remember him sitting on that tractor driving, and he had a cigarette in his mouth, but he never lied it. Yeah. And I'm like, why don't he light that cigarette? But I don't know. I still don't know. Maybe, Mr. Bob, if you're hearing this, you can call and let me know why you did that.
Oh, well, we could chit chat for a while. But then, yes. And how sweet is it that maybe a couple months ago, we found a picture of you holding me when I was a baby.
Oh,
of when you were in the Easter Bunny.
Oh,
yeah. So we'll have to post that on social media when your episode comes out, because that'll be a sweet little picture to show.
I used to like to do stuff like that way back when it didn't matter if it was Easter Bunny. It didn't matter what it was. That time of life, I was like, I wanted to have the suit on and walking around doing something, being funny about it, you know?
Well, that's just like you, just like we're saying, you're just a sunshine. There's a more specific reason why you're here today, because the Lord has done a powerful work in your life, Jill. And I am so excited for you to share. And there's probably going to be a lot of tears in this episode. So just buckle up, guys, and get ready, because it is just a powerful, powerful thing that God has done. So, if you want to kind of take us back to February 28th of last year, 2023, you were driving a tractor and you were hit by a car.
Yes, correct.
You want to kind of pick up from there?
Well, I still don't remember. God took that memory from my mind even to this day. But, you know, I spent 3 months in the hospital, and my family supported me through it all. And I'm so grateful for that and thankful for that.
Yes.
That you know, God spared my life.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I hear often that they had 3 to 4 pull-the-plug meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And now I say, now those were come to Jesus meetings. That's what they were, come to Jesus meetings that, you know, get everybody's heart right so that, you know, we can just move on. And praise God, he saved my life, you know. And I'll be forever grateful for that. And, I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but I'm sure everybody listening does that. You know, this is the second time this has happened in my life.
Right.
And, the first one was, I think it was 1984. And my mom passed away, but I made it. And
you were in a car accident, right?
Correct.
You were 19?
Yes, correct.
And your mother passed away from in that accident.
That's correct.
And you, the Lord kept you, and you broke both of your legs, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And so in that accident, you had to learn how to walk all over again? What did that look like post the accident?
I didn't go through rehab at the facility like I did this accident today in 23.
Right.
But in 84, I was in a body cast from my waist down to my feet because I broke both of my femurs in my legs. And this one, I don't think I physically broke a leg. And we probably won't get into what all this stuff happened, but I think I did break one of my fingers. And I know I damaged one of my legs pretty bad and had 3 or 4 operations and, you know, still going through recovery. And this, I guess that has been the hardest of it all. And I do remember when they moved me to rehab, I remember 2 ladies coming in there and said, stand up, because I broke my, what you call it? Not my back, not my pelvis. I broke my pelvis. And then when I was getting some checkoffs, you know, getting to come home, they would say, they pulled a computer up and they were going to show that. And I'm like, do I have to look at that? And they're like, no, you don't have to if you don't want to. But they even said that there's no arthritis or anything. It shows nothing. And I was just amazed that, you know, praise God, he really, really saved my life. And two, in that, I do remember I have had cataracts on my eyes. And I had eye surgery. And they said, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how, you know, you don't have no pain or anything. I said, no, I don't. I have no pain at all. But, you know, my Jesus, let me tell you about my Jesus is all I can say, you know. And that's just the truth. Seemed like there was something else I was going
to say. Well, I'm going to go back to February 28th.
Yes.
And I don't want to dwell on that too long, but I do want people who might not have heard your story, I want them to understand the magnitude of what happened and the magnitude of how this can only be God that did this.
Amen, sister. Yes.
So at the accident, you had to be life flighted.
Yes, correct.
To where? To Duke or Chapel Hill?
Wake Med.
Okay. So, yes. So it was the accident was very intense.
Yes.
So much to the point that you had to be life-lighted.
Yes.
And they took you to Wake Med, and they, I don't know if they thought you were going to make it to the hospital, to Wake Med.
I don't remember that, but the one thing I can remember, we went to something at Spivey's Corner.
Yes.
And a man there met me that Jennifer kept saying, sir, sir, sir. And I'm like, what is she going to say to him? And then he finally come over there and she said, you know, talking about my accident. And he just stood there with his hands kind of closed. And then he says, tell me a little more about it. And she says, went right on to tell the story. And he says, yes, I remember that day very well. I was her nurse in the helicopter and I didn't take my eyes off of her till we got to Wake Med. And I thought, wow, how powerful is that, my friend? And
y'all were at, it was like a touch the fire truck thing. But yeah. They have the helicopter pad is at that place that y'all were at. And this was post your accident. Y'all were there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
And you were, and that nurse was the nurse that was on the helicopter with you.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
So when you got to Wake Med that day, February 28th, 2023, do you remember how long you were there? How long you stayed there?
I left May the 12th and I arrived there February the 28th of 2023.
Yes. Okay. And how long were you unconscious?
I'm thinking, and I've only heard this because I really don't remember.
Right.
Maybe 10 to 12 days. Mm-hmm. I don't remember nothing. I still don't remember nothing now to this day.
Right. Which, like you said, I think that's a blessing. That
yes.
That you only know this because you've had your family and people tell you, you know, this is what happened.
Yes.
And so, like you said, you were intubated. You were fully on life support for part of that time.
Correct.
And I want to share, I know this secondhand because Jennifer and Amy here, who was also a guest on the podcast, they have said when they were in that hospital room, people thought they were crazy.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Because, will you tell us why they thought they were crazy?
Because they prayed all the time. They had Christian music. They played it all the time. It didn't matter because I guess it made me happy. I really don't remember that, right. But that's what they've told me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they just were they were just praising the Lord and constantly yes. praying because they knew that whatever the outcome was, that you were going to be healed.
Amen.
You were healed on this side of heaven or if you were healed in heaven, they knew the hope that you had in Jesus. So I want to point that out and they had that hope because they knew without a shadow of a doubt that you had put your life in the hands of Jesus Christ and that you are a born again believer. So they knew the hope that you had that you were going to have eternal life with Jesus.
Amen. Yes. I was never going to die.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And I've tried to explain that a couple of times with friends that, you know, you'll never die if you have Jesus in your heart. And I heard Priscilla Shire say something. She said, you don't only really have to have him in your heart, but you have to wear him on your shoulders too.
That's good. That's good. So after, you know, you woke up after that, about 10 to 12 days.
Yes.
Do you remember what happened when you woke up? Do you remember anything about that time?
I still don't remember it. I don't know, but I guess, you know, that's only Jesus and his daddy because I'll see some videos or something and I'm like, well, y'all said I didn't say anything and that I was unconscious, that we're having a pull-the-plug meeting. And I'm like, how was I talking then? Why was I saying it? God took all the memories I didn't need to have. Mm-hmm. He took them away, and I still don't have them.
Oh, hallelujah. That's amazing. Yeah, so, but you did, basically, it by the world's standards, by what the doctors were saying, was, you know, she's not going to make it.
Yeah.
But the Lord said, oh, no, yeah. No. She is going to make it. And so you're just a true miracle that you are, you're walking, talking. If you didn't, like I didn't know the extent of your accident. And I remember after I told my mom, I was like, yeah, a lady named Jill Horner was in this Bible study. And she was like, she is. And she was like, oh my goodness. Like, is she doing okay? And I was like, yeah, I didn't think anything What's wrong with her? And she was like, Catherine, that's who. And I started putting the pieces together. I'm like, oh my gosh, is that Jill? Like, that's who was in the accident. And so I met you, that was in like September of, so your accident happened in February of 2023. You left the hospital in May of 2023.
Yes.
I see you in September of 2023. And I didn't think anything was, could have ever been wrong with you.
Yes.
And, you know, a few months before you, the doctors were saying, you know, we might have to pull the plug.
Yeah.
So, like that, just like you said, let me tell you about our Jesus.
Amen, sister. Yes.
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 So, how has your faith changed? Has it changed since this accident?
Well, not really, because, you know, you always believe no matter what. You know, you brought up in church, you're done, or your parents bring you up in church, or you go to church, you go to school, you know, with a lot of people that go to church, but when you've had an accident like I've had, you know that you know that you know. You know, you can be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. But I would say it has grown me closer to what I should be doing, and I'm just waiting for God to open the door for what's my next step.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So when you meet people, and you tell them, or if you feel led to tell them about your accident, what do you feel like is the one thing that you want them to take away from what happened to you?
I just want them to know, to have a personal relationship with our Savior Jesus and His Daddy. And if you have that, you're never going to die no matter what. No matter what, you live forever, forever and ever. You know, and, you know, that's one thing that's brought me closer to the Lord, that, you know that you're put here for a reason, and you have to tell everybody about Jesus no matter what, no matter what. It doesn't matter. For example, me and my cousins went to Charleston this weekend, and it bothered me because we went by this place and this man was laying on the bench asleep and he had his suitcases out there, and I'm like, you know, we should go give him a bottle of water or something, you know, that, because God loves him too. It don't matter where you've been, but where you're going, no matter what situation you've been in or where you've been, God loves you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Yes, that is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can take that from you.
Yes, amen. Amen. Once you've received that gift,
yes,
there's nothing that anybody can do. You can't lose it, and it can't be taken away.
Amen, sister. Yes, yes, that is correct.
Yeah, and what you just said reminds me of something my husband told me the other day. He said the Lord just reminded him that He loves him just as much as He loves the preacher.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we can often think, well, okay, look at their life and they are a pastor, or, you know, they're doing this or doing that. The Lord must love them more than He loves, you know, little old me. But that is a lie straight from the enemy, is
yes.
that He loves every single one of His children the same. So I love that you said that about the man on the bench.
Yes, yes. And it don't matter who they are, don't matter where they've been, don't matter what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
God loves them anyway. It don't matter if they got on nice clothes, old clothes, good shoes, with the high heels or not high heels. All that doesn't matter. Makeup, no makeup.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. He loves you anyway.
Yes.
Yes.
You said something. So you're still in, you still are going to rehab, right? You're still.
Yes. Tomorrow, I'm hoping and praying. Tomorrow's my last visit to Wake Med.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you in rehab for?
Now, I know y'all can tell my voice is kind of croupy. And this last time they ran a light down my throat trying to release me from everything I've been through. And one of the things the lady wanted me to do to go to an ENT doctor and have it checked and tested, and one side of my voice box was somewhat swollen. And so they put me back in therapy again. And I'm thinking, okay, one more time. But hopefully tomorrow is the last day.
Awesome. Did you have to, because your pelvis and all that, did you have to do like a lot of therapy after for like to walk and?
Oh, yeah. I think I started that conversation when I went to maybe the second floor. These two ladies would come in there with these walkers and they'd look at me and say, stand up. And I said, huh? And she's like, we just need you to stand up. I said, I got to walk. And she's like, no, we just want you to stand up, you know, put some weight on your legs. I said, okay, long as one of you stand on each side of me, I'll stand up. So I did that. And then when I started walking, you know, they got pictures of me walking here, walking there, walking here. And then my sister, when I was going through rehab, walking up the steps and down the steps, I'd walk up the steps and I'd walk back down. This was the therapist. And then my sister hit me on the tail. She said, give me 10 more, give me 10 more. I had to turn around and look, and I thought, you know, you can't be ugly. But I'm thinking, have I got to be nice? And I looked, but it was my sister, Jenna.
It was the therapist.
And it wasn't the therapist, because I was thinking, is she really serious?
Yeah. You were like, okay, I've done enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to walk up and down one more time, get me back to my bed, please.
When you came home, were you walking? Like right now, you don't have a walker, you don't have anything.
No. Well, when I came home, I did have a walker. And I did take, I'm going to call it the potty chair over the seat. I took it out last week.
Wow.
Because I'm done. I'm done with all that. I'm ready to move on.
Yes.
I'm ready to do what I got to do. Whatever the next step is, I'm ready.
Wow. Awesome. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what your next step is, what the Lord has next.
Yes, I am too.
Because just like you're saying, it sounds like you're just coming out of this season of all the healing and all the things that your body has had to catch up to. Because we know the Lord's already healed you. It's like your body's just catching up. And you have your last therapy tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, yeah, it seems like I can just see, like you're just walking out of the threshold of this season of finishing healing up. And so I can't wait to see what the Lord's going to do next.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Everybody hold on.
You going to write a book like Amy?
I don't know about that. I probably could. I might can get Amy to help me.
That would be a great book.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll just go ahead and start wrapping up, but I want to ask you one question before we close is, if the person who was in the accident with you, if they were to walk through this door right now, what would you say to them?
I'd hug her neck and tell her I loved her.
Yeah. Because you don't know. You haven't had any conversation with that person.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But I have no bad feelings toward her at all.
Yeah. What's your biggest hope for her?
That she knows Jesus, just knows him, would make me happy. But if she got to know him any better than she did before, I'd go through it again.
Amen. That is such a beautiful picture of grace. And that's just the gospel right there.
Yes.
Is that, you know, we lay down our life. Jesus laid down his life for us so that we could have a relationship with God. And so just how you're so selflessly saying, you know, I would go through this again.
Yes.
If it meant to bring somebody closer to Christ or to bring someone into a relationship with Jesus.
Amen. Yes, I would.
Yes.
Yes, I would.
Well, I love you and I'm so proud of you for doing this. And thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Will you close us in prayer, Julie?
Yes, ma'am, I will. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to give all of us that open up our life for you and help us to be a shining example for you, Lord, in everything that we say and do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.